Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
We all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie. Let's go. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Touch from Rich. Adam Jones is in for Rich today, which is a good thing because he gets to hear these clips of Brady and go crazy. He called Brady not relatable because his kids were getting, kids at school were telling him that they were only friends with him because Tom was their dad.
Yes.
And yeah. I countered with, I think that does make him seem a little more relatable because he has issues just like everyone else with their
children.
Well,
yes. He has some challenging issues that he has to deal with as a parent. I just don't know if, you know, I'm such a big superstar. That was entirely relatable. That was all.
Okay. Well, Brady had a lot to say. Oprah in the backyard of one of her many estates with Jim Gray standing there with headphones on. Gotta know why Jim Gray was there. No idea why Jim Gray was there. Unless in all seriousness, he serves as some sort of, like, assistant to Tom Brady. I mean, that's the only explanation I can think of. I mean, it was being thrown around that he might be making a documentary, but if I'm Oprah, no, get away. You don't think she has, like, a huge production company? I mean, she has everything.
Yeah, she should have all her own.
Harpo Productions, right. She has Harpo Productions. She has, a book.
It's literally her own network.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Jim Gray's
She doesn't need Jim Gray to give her a camera guy.
Yeah, Oprah didn't request Jim Gray being there.
Probably not.
No. Oh, I would say it's 100% certainty. So,
again, unless my conspiracy theory that they got a little something on the side going on. But, yeah, I don't. Other than that, I don't think she requested him there.
All right. So here is Brady talking about the national anthem.
You know, this past season, one of the biggest stories in the NFL and the nation was players choosing to kneel during the national anthem to protest police brutality and racial injustice. Taking a knee divided the country.
Yeah.
What was happening in your own locker room?
I think there were a lot of really good, healthy conversations coming out of it in our locker room. You know, I think, like I said, the great part about sports are the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in it for a long time. I've been with guys from all different parts of the country, every color, race, belief.
Background.
And, yeah. And you know what? You respect what other people, you know, I do. I respect why people are doing what they're doing. And they're doing it for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I just, you know, you can do things for your reason. They can do things for their reason. And you have respect for that. But I thought it was great.
Were there healthy conversations? Did you all have conversations about it?
Yeah, we had meetings after practice talking about, you know, how we wanted to deal with that particular, you know, situation at the time, mm-hmm. whether it was taking a knee.
Yeah, these are not conversations about the oppression of black people in society.
No,
these are conversations about how to best deal with the kneeling on the sideline situation.
Yeah, this is either Bill or the team's leadership saying, guys, this is how we're going to deal. I agree 100%. Like, she pressed them there. She's like, okay, wait, so there was, you actually had meaningful conversations?
No.
There were not a lot of details given.
No,
by
and then he pretty much concedes that it was about how to handle the situation.
Yeah.
Which is what they were.
The PR fallout. Yeah.
I highly doubt that there was, you know, a debate and then they showed, you know, footage from riots and things of that nature.
Right.
And tried to explain what was going on and what was actually being protested.
Didn't sound that way.
No, it doesn't sound that way. And I would tend to tell you that it never happened.
Chose to, you know, lock arms and we put arms, you know, around each other. You know, we support what people are going through. I've been playing sports long enough. Everyone comes from something different. And I think showing respect for everybody is, you know, in a locker room, a team for guys trying to go the same direction, you better have that empathy for everybody. That's what sports are about.
Yeah, I did not answer that question.
Not even in the same universe as an answer.
No,
he just kind of wandered around and didn't come close.
No, he just kept saying he respects everybody from different walks of life, which really is not an answer.
And of course, we had the Oprah killer follow up saying, "Tom, you really didn't answer the question. What did you believe in that or not believe in that?" right? That's what's next. You're going to play that next, right?
No.
No, there's no killer follow-up.
She followed up. That was in there.
Did she follow up?
Yeah, she followed up. She pressed him on if they really had conversations.
But she never got to what he believed.
I mean, I don't know what was edited out, but if she said, what do you believe, he would have said, you know, it's an interesting issue and everyone has their own opinion. He wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, I think he pretty much couched it like that.
You still got to ask, though, right? You still got to ask, even though you don't get a response, you still got to ask.
I got to be honest, I thought she did, for the most part, a pretty good job asking stuff. Like, there's a lot of stuff I did not expect her to ask.
Sure.
This we knew, because this had been leaked out before as part of the promotion, but... You know, she asked about Belichick. She asked about, in some effects, Guerrero.
Yeah. All right, here she is talking a little bit about Guerrero and how Brady trains.
Is it true that you have a separate training place where you don't train with the rest of the team?
No, I wouldn't say that. Probably do some of my own techniques differently than the rest of the team. I mean...
No, you train at a place that's not the facility.
Right.
That's just a lie.
She's right.
Yes. I mean, is there any debating that?
No, there were stories about him going to TB12 either during camp or during OTAs or not during off-hour OTAs.
Yeah, here's where...
Practicing in the bubble next to the practice field.
He goes to practice. I mean, I guess you could call that working out. But he does the vast majority of his training, as he would tell you, as is the whole point of this interview... It's to sell the lifestyle of TB12. Yes, he works out in a different facility and does different things than other people on the team that have chosen not to go over there. I mean, it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he won't just say that.
I wouldn't quite phrase it that way. Like, no, that's she phrased it right.
No, it was exactly how she phrased it.
She phrased it properly.
And here's where it's weird. You're on Oprah because you're reaching out to an audience that is maybe knows. I mean, Brady's a gigantic star. He's married to a gigantic star, so everyone knows Tom Brady, but they might not know a lot about Tom Brady, and they don't know about this TB12 thing. So this whole interview is based upon him raising awareness for his product. Why wouldn't you just say yeah? Because I feel that this gives me my best chance to succeed. I feel, and it's just my personal opinion, I encourage people, if they want to try it out, that this was what works for me. And I don't hold any of my teammates, I don't hold them accountable for not coming over. I think the training staff for the Patriots is fantastic. I've just, in cooperation with Guerrero, have decided that this is what's best for me. I mean, dude, you hawk the product. Hawk the lifestyle.
Right. Yeah, it's its own thing. It's right down at Patriot Place. Take a left at Bass Pro Shops. It's right down there. Like, come check it out.
Yeah, and then buy the book.
Right.
And then when the center opens up in your town, give it a try.
Is it true that you have a separate training place where you don't train with the rest of the team?
No, I wouldn't say that. Probably do some of my own techniques differently than the rest of the team. I mean, the team is, I would say, like most teams are very systematic in their approach. And what I learned, I guess, is different than some of the things that are systematic, but that worked for me. So it's nothing that I don't talk about with my coach and owner, and is what I want to do, is what I need to be the best player I can be. And, you know, hopefully you can support that.
All right. So he's saying that he has the full support of everyone, which is, again, not true.
All right. Though they've had conversations. He didn't really say how those conversations went.
Right.
But they've had them.
All right, so this is interesting in how short it is. He is asked about Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
Is there something going on with you and Belichick?
No, I mean, I love him, you know.
All right, any answer that starts with a second of silence from the time that the question is answered, I can tell you definitively there is a full 3 seconds of silence. He goes, but before he answers the question. So, I mean, I don't mean to break it down like the Zapruder film, but I am telling you that is a long time.
Yeah.
That is, it's a question you knew was coming, and you're really deeply thinking about how you want to answer this thing. Do you want to stick it to him a little bit? Do you want to, like, how do you want to handle this? You can, John, wouldn't you agree this question gets asked to him 2 years ago, and he's just like, he's the greatest coach of all time?
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Greatest coach of all time. Yeah. Love playing for
him.
No
hesitation. Correct.
Who would you rather play for? All that stuff.
I mean, this has got to get this got to be more than Guerrero. There's got to be stuff going on. I mean, this is so far out of left field. If he would have answered a question this way 2 years ago, it would have been a panic meter.
It's interesting, too. I don't know. We have the Deflategate answer that he gives. Like, I was thinking about his answer to Deflategate, when he effectively says, you know, there are people I found out who I can trust and who I couldn't. Like, I was kind of like, ooh, like, maybe that's where it started to fall apart with him and Bill. Like, dropping that in his lap. Maybe I can't trust Bill. Maybe that was the beginning of it. And that's why you get 3 seconds of him kind of hemming and hawing over how he wants to answer it with, I love playing for him and he's great. But yeah, I mean, I thought that was, that little hesitation is telling.
And we'll get to the Deflategate answer and so much more. But first, I have to do my public service. Corey, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I feel like I'm Nora and Pasta Joe mixed up in one because I just had 3 nips and it's approaching 10 o'clock, so I'm about to have a bowl of pasta.
All right, so you've had 3 nips. Now, do you work days or do you work nights?
I work days, but I actually have vacation day today.
Oh, good. Well, that's what. Listen, God bless you.
Nice.
Get going early.
My question was, my daughter made me these useless items. Well, I don't think they're useless because obviously they're valuable. She's 6 years old. She put a lot of effort into it. But my wife insists I keep them. But, I mean, what do you do with them? Like, they just kind of pile up.
Okay. What is it?
It's a little heart made of clay. And then there's some pictures drawn that says, my dad is best at sports and being nice.
Well, so keep that for when the court comes and your wife is leaving you for drinking in the morning. No, as evidence that you had a good relationship with the children. Here's what I have, is I will tell you this, is that the first year of college, because it was so practical, my parents got me a trunk. And this trunk is very, it weighs about 100 pounds, and it has a bunch of stuff in it. So what I've done is, and because if you keep everything your kids make, you're going to go insane. You obviously don't do that. But, like, for a holiday, like, last night I put the things my children made into the trunk. So they're there.
Got it.
So, you know, if I'm ever, at one point in my life, I'll go through that trunk. I mean, there's stuff from college in there. There's the Hell Week book that they...
Oh, you still have all that stuff in there, too?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I have stuff from starting freshman year of college up until now.
Wow.
I have the stuff in there.
And that's where the kid stuff goes.
And that's now where the kid stuff goes.
Hmm.
I have every hat from every team my son has played on that I've coached, which I have no idea what I'm going to do with those.
Yeah.
That's kind of a weird thing. I'll smell them when he gets older. They smell like...
Yeah.
They smell like sweaty
right,
child.
Like when he goes off to college. Yes. Like Rochi.
Rochi just going on Instagram and going, here's the fam. Picture of all four of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Father's Day.
And then he talks about his dead dad and how everybody thinks about him every day. And you're mm-hmm. like, all right, loser. All right, why don't you take a day off and focus on your own kids? You know, maybe you
call Dan before the end of the show and wish him a happy Father's Day.
Oh, he knows I'm wishing him a happy Father's Day.
I'm thinking maybe now would be the time to roll out the gravestone story again.
He shows a beautiful picture of his family, and he's got to get all down and dirty about how his dad died. All right.
Mm-hmm.
He misses
his dad. It's just one day. Come on, let him have it.
You've had silver hair for the last 30 years. What do you think? He was going to live forever? I mean, that spoils the big picture. Happy Father's Day. I couldn't have asked for a greater family. But then you go.
Well, he's saying that. He had a picture of the four of them. He's adding, like, I miss my father, too, on his day.
And that's what
What's
I'm telling
that?
And that's why I'm telling you that there's darkness in his soul. That he can't even enjoy Father's Day without mentioning death.
If you're not going to remember your father on Father's Day, when are you going to remember
him? He says every day. And all I'm saying is, you know, enjoy what you got.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Tom Brady sat down with Oprah Winfrey at one of her many properties. Giselle was there, and of course Jim Gray was there for some unknown reason. If you want to hear this show, it's as simple as downloading the 98.5 The Sports Hub app in the iTunes Store or on Google Play. You can get all the podcasts, the live show as you hear it on the radio. Also, the Twitter feeds and all the news that you need. 98.5 The Sports Hub app. All right, so here is Tom Brady. He's talking about Belichick again. If this was 2 years ago and he hesitated this long, people would be freaking out.
Is there something going on with you and Belichick?
No, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that he's an incredible, you know, coach, mentor for me. And he's pushed me in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And like everything, we don't agree on absolutely everything.
Yeah.
But that's relationships.
That's relationships.
Yeah.
All right, so not glowing praise.
No. Like everything, we don't agree on everything, but hey, that's relationships. Like,
you might as well just be saying that's just how it goes.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's one area where she could have followed up. Like, I think generally she was pretty good. I'm shocked she even asked about Belichick. Like, I was very surprised that was even kind of on her radar, but that was an area she could have followed up.
Right.
Like, hey, what... You know, what don't you guys see eye to eye on? That might have been a nice follow up, but I think if you've been following the story like we all have been, I think we kinda know. You know? He wants his trainer. He wants Bill to lighten up a little bit. He wants a contract. You know, these are all things that they don't see eye to eye on.
Do you make anything of Belichick giving him the last couple of days of OTAs off and taking him to Fenway?
Yes. I mean, I think it's one of two things. Either they understand, and maybe it's a top-down thing that, you know, from Kraft that, all right, we got to start doing things a little different because, you know, I've been riding guys too hard or just, you know, Brady and Gronk have too much power and, you know, while they're skipping out, I'll show you guys that we can have fun. Don't worry about them. We can have fun without them. You know, it could also be, I think Marshall Hook said this to me the other night, could be like the exasperated dad thing too, where it's just like, I can't control these people. I can't rein them in on what they're doing. So you know what? Fine. You guys want to not have practice? You guys want to have fun? Fine. Then we'll just do whatever you guys want and let's see how that goes. Let's see if we wind up in the Super Bowl. Let's see if we win our customary 12, 13, 14 games again. Let's start doing things how you guys want and let's see exactly how it goes. My guess is it's not going to go as well as you guys want.
I think there's another layer to it, too. There were workouts Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday,
mm-hmm.
and the only media availability
was Thursday.
Yep, right. I don't think that's a coincidence.
No,
I think there's trouble there, and the Patriots want as little media access as possible at this point. And I don't think it was a coincidence at all. They knew after Tuesday's workout, the media was going to swarm all over them and ask the same round of questions again on Thursday. They're like, look, we don't need these last two workouts. What's done is done. Whatever we're doing now is fine-tuning it.
Yeah.
Let's just get the players away from the media for 6 weeks.
Since the last time the media had access at training camp, Edelman had been popped four games for PEDs.
Right.
There's everyone, you know, myself including, looking at Guerrero and going, what the hell's going on? You know, Brady and Gronk had skipped out.
By the way,
you know,
I think
you have a million things that happened in that week.
I don't know what happened with the PEDs, but what I find is funny is when people get upset that you would have the audacity to think Guerrero had something to do with it.
Well, it's irresponsible, Fred. That's an irresponsible way to think.
That is just so ludicrous. So these guys go to a trainer who's been popped before for selling things that the FDA said no.
A trainer they won't shut up about, by the way. A trainer they tell you how great he is, you know, all the time.
Right.
Until something goes awry.
And then it's just irresponsible as if we're crazy to even think that way in any way, shape, or form.
Yes.
All right. So here is Brady talking about Deflategate.
What did Deflategate, as the press call it, teach you about yourself?
Well, I think it taught me a lot of things. You know, it taught me about, you know, the people that I could really count on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that really supported me. And it taught me a lot about life.
So do you think he's referring to Patriots players?
I mean, I think there, you know, he says, I learned who I can count on. The other side to that coin is, well, I know who I can't count on. You know, that's what's left unsaid. And I don't know. I started wondering during that answer if that's where things between he and Bill started to go south.
Kraft had to step in and try to make things right any way he could.
Well, Bill said, ask Tom in his press conference. Go ask Tom. And then Tom was, you know, facing the firing squad for a half an hour leading up to the Super Bowl with a million questions about Deflategate, I learned who I could trust and who I couldn't. Bill dropped it in his lap. I mean, I wonder if that's where some of the deterioration in their relationship started.
Yeah, he can trust Kraft, but he can't trust Belichick.
Yeah.
By the way, Dan wrote sending me continuous text.
I was wondering what was going on.
I heard a little ding over there.
Yeah. So he's, because we were talking about how he was on Instagram going on and on about his dead dad, even though he had a beautiful family with him, and he sends, I got through it, then a smiley face, then a picture of someone huddled in a corner with their hands around their arms around their knees. Dan going through a lot.
Did he send you a Dan emoji? That's another thing. He has his own emoji.
I think he stopped that because I told him it gave you them entire access to your text messages.
Oh, all right.
He continues on Deflategate.
You know, sometimes you do the best you can do and it doesn't work out. And there were a lot of frustrations, you know, and I tried to fight as hard as I could for what I believed in.
Mm-hmm. What made you finally say, I'm going to let it go?
It just too much anxiety. You know, too much. I realized I couldn't win, and it was divided attention, and I was tired of that. Tired of waking up and having a call with someone from the Players Association, and I just said, you know what? I'm gonna use this as an opportunity to. You know, I had the month of September off for the first time in like that would have been 16, 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm going to take advantage of this. And the first thing I did, my wife and I and our kids, we flew out to see my parents. And my mom was just starting treatment for cancer. And I said, we're going golfing. We're going to go to Pebble Beach. And we went there. And then we never went on honeymoon, my wife and I. So we said, look, we're going to go to Italy, you know, in September. And so I said, man, that was the best month off I think I've ever had. And I really, in some ways, it was a great experience. My life. I think you look back on those experiences and it was a really tough experience in my life.
Would you do things differently? Would you handle it differently? Mm-mm. No?
No.
No, I would have deflated the balls.
Right, like I like when he's like, I realized I couldn't win. Yeah, it's, well, you know, it's hard to win when you did it, you know. It's hard to win that case. You know, I feel you.
Right. Well, you got to go to Italy and wear a washcloth on his ass. We'll finish up this Tom Brady stuff and so much more. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Any at 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. We have been informed by Bird that today is the 76th birthday of Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had to guess what he would want for his birthday, what would you guess?
Oh, a sandwich.
Yeah, you got to get a sandwich.
Oh, what kind of sandwich?
It's a Dagwood. Not too much, though.
Why not?
Because you don't want to waste it. The meat goes bad.
And what else? What else is it?
You put the condiments on the side. It's too much.
Yeah, it always is. That's a problem.
You have some idiot over here. Not a six-footer. That's a submarine. I asked for a sandwich. I want one with an olive and a toothpick in it.
Oh, toothpicks are a little dicey, though. You don't take those out.
It has to hold it together or else you're eating in pieces.
I know. I understand, but if you eat the toothpick and you forget to take it out, that's
a
problem.
What are you, an idiot? You can't, if you don't even know where the wood is, that's what the olive is for.
That's a good point. Marks the toothpick.
It's true.
It marks the middle. It holds it all together. It's what structurally makes the sandwich good. You get a six-foot sub, what are you paying for? Bread? You get a Dagwood, what are you paying for? Cheese, lettuce, onion, meat. Cheese, lettuce, onion, meat. Condiments.
What kind of meat exactly is in the Dagwood?
Oh, you could put in pimento.
Nice.
Feeling crazy. Or you could be, okay, you could use leftover, what, Thanksgiving turkey?
Really?
It's a roasted, or you could go smoked turkey.
I don't know about the leftover
when
Thanksgiving
turkey. When we were just lads in
July.
Liverpool, we would get you know what we would get? Oscar Mayer bologna.
Sweet.
No. Disgusting. Gross.
I see.
Now only the finest. Have you been to Katz's Deli?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's too much. They sack them sky high. Can't even get your mouth around it.
Is that Newton, Katz's Deli?
No, you moron. It's the most famous deli in the world. It's in New York.
Oh, sorry. I've never been.
Well, haven't you lived a long, wonderful life?
I didn't know.
Have you ever seen a movie? Have you ever seen When Harry Met Sally?
Oh, is that what? Okay, now it's all falling
yeah,
into place.
Yeah, you know, it's referenced in several places.
Honestly,
part of popular culture.
No, sorry.
Maybe not so many Bryant games.
Less studying, more watching of the TV.
Right.
I got it.
All right, so anyway, I call BS on this whole story. A 23-foot-long python has swallowed a woman in central Indonesia.
What happens after football?
Oh, I didn't get that. swallowed a woman in Indonesia. Village said Saturday the victim, a 54-year-old of Watiba, went missing, and they were checking her vegetable garden, and they looked at the garden, and they only found her belongings, and they say the snake killed, the snake ate her whole.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that, that's something you can get out of.
Like yeah.
If you're sitting there and a snake starts, you ever seen a snake eat a bunny rabbit?
Yes, I have actually.
It's actually kind of I don't care for it because it wraps itself around and then the eyes.
Yeah,
pop
was
out.
It wasn't pleasant. No,
no. And so that's something you see once in your life, like in a fraternity house. Then you go, I don't need to see that again. The mice not so disturbing, but the rabbit, eyes pop out of the head and everything goes on. But if this thing's eating you, I mean, at what point do you fight back? At what point, I mean...
Or at least, like, call for... You got some time to, like, call for help, right? Like,
it's you have 5 hours.
Right.
I mean, the thing's got to dislodge its jaw.
Right.
And then it can't take both your feet at the same time.
Right.
And then once you're in its stomach, just fight your way out of it. Like, even if you were laying there lame, or, like, you were passed out, and you wake up and you're in the thing's stomach, start, you know, clawing your way out of it.
Yeah. A Jonah and the whale type situation, yeah.
Of course it's like Jonah and the whale. Do right. you get that reference?
Yes, that one I got. Thank you.
Is it because they did a Flintstones on it?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how you got the reference?
Yeah.
Body of a python.
Yeah.
Can you just punch your way out?
I don't... So it dislodges its jaw. First of all, it's got to be huge. It's got to be... It's got...
It's a man.
It's 23 foot, but that doesn't tell you how big the face is.
Right.
So it's got to have the face the size...
Of at least a big grinder. Okay?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Don't put a candle in the sandwich. It'll melt and get on it.
You got the... It's got to have a face that big. And then it takes... I bet you to eat a 5'2" lady, you're talking about at least 3 hours.
Okay.
And that's just laziness.
Yeah, that's some time.
At that point, you got to get out of it. At that point, you got to find a way.
And maybe she wanted to go.
Mm.
Well, then jump off a building like a normal person.
Maybe that was her plan. Lure in the python.
She wanted to die a horrible, horrible, just slow death?
I don't know. I'm trying to come up with motivation for why she wouldn't call for help.
I can think of about, I don't know, a million ways I'd rather die. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, Jonesy.
Yes.
That sounds more like a jackass right now. Fred thinking that he could fight off a 23-foot snake, or Mark Wahlberg thinking that he could fight the terrorists on the plane on 9/11.
I don't know. I don't know if you can fight your way out of the snake. Is that not realistic? I don't know.
Well, Wahlberg stopping 9/11 is horribly unrealistic.
Yeah,
and of course, it's worse. You could fight your way out of the snake. I don't even think a snake could eat a person.
Well, it did.
According to, Timbuktu news, I mean, it's something that was reported by villagers.
I see.
I mean, they could easily pull the wool over your eyes.
True.
They get that snake tourism.
To what end would they fake the story exactly?
To people want to go down and see what's doing with these snakes.
Tell their buddies
they'd come in, they'd spend their money down there, of course.
Yeah, right. It's like a whole snake thing.
Sure.
Like you go down there and they're like, ah, look at the snake, it ate someone.
Yep. So you tell everybody you were living or you were traveling with man eating snakes down there.
That's right.
Yeah.
You sound like a badass.
I survived.
A snake souvenir store. Yes.
car climb Mount Washington kind of bumper sticker.
Sure.
I survived the snakes type
deal. There is nothing more cool than I climbed Mount Washington in a car. That is something that every time you see one of those bumper stickers, you go,
you're like, ah.
Yeah. It's been around squat goals. Like 45 years now, worth of bumper stickers.
I understand it's a harrowing drive.
Yeah.
I seem to understand that it is a harrowing drive. Yeah. But there's nothing. That's just saying, like, I'll put anything on my car. And then imagine, like, the satisfaction of, like you see someone behind you, and then they pull around, and you're just like, yeah, I climbed Mount Washington.
Yeah, yeah. Or, like, when two of them kind of both did it, they can kind of commiserate, like, just kind of look at each other like, I know.
See, I think that...
I understand your life experiences.
No, I think that might be a drag race situation.
Yeah, kind of eye them down, like...
Yeah, like, you see someone has I climb Mount Washington, so maybe you get in the other lane, start revving the engine, and you go, want to see who can do this?
Who climbed faster.
Right.
Like, you climbed it, but... I bet my car climbed it faster.
Yeah, let's find out who's the alpha here.
Yeah, let's line them up. That's a good point.
I'm gonna submit. You have a Subaru. There's no doubt about it. So you have to. So you take the Subs, and you line it up next to the other Subs.
Yeah,
and you let them spin.
Yep,
and off you go.
Yeah.
Like what do you want to do today? I got an idea. Let's drive up a mountain.
It's a cool bumper sticker at the top.
Bumper sticker, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not even in it for the bumper sticker. Sure, I'll put it on the ride, but I'm in it for just the straight life experience.
Yeah.
Now what's the deal? Is it like hard?
I've
never done it either.
I
just grew up with the bumper stickers everywhere. I've never been to Mount Washington. I have no idea.
Maybe we're all missing out.
Is it hard do you live to tell the tale?
Well, enough people are there that obviously, they've given away more than their fair share of bumper stickers. I'm thinking that
but maybe not.
Because they're so prevalent in society, a lot of people, it can't be that harrowing.
But maybe not everyone. You know?
Do you ever think, like, some sucker, like, just, like, took one off another car?
Oh, counterfeit bumper sticker.
And tries to be a poser about the whole thing?
That's not right. They look down on that, I'd imagine.
Tom, it hurts the whole business
model. Yeah, yeah.
Todd, go ahead.
So, a snake like that grabs the victim, twists around them, strangles them to death, and then swallows them whole head first.
Yeah, see,
you can't fight your way out of a snake.
But don't they don't strangle you like right away, do they? I feel like that takes some time.
They grab a hold of you and they twist like a lot faster than you would think.
Well, how fast?
We used to have a python. We used to feed it live mice and it would grab it.
Okay, a mouse.
Kill it and then swallow it.
Yeah, they do the same thing with rabbits.
How fast?
It's gross.
Very fast.
Mouse. What does that mean? Well, how fast is very fast? I don't know what that means.
Well, I mean, faster than you can run away, that's for sure.
Oh,
they
just
grab onto you with their teeth and then strangle you to death.
When they grab onto you with their teeth, why don't you just hit them in the head a bunch of times?
Because a 23-foot python isn't really going to get hurt by a 5'3" woman or a 5'2" woman.
What if I grab a stick and I start, like, jamming it all around it?
I don't think you'd have time to because they're so fast. They coil around you and squeeze the life out of you. Every time you take a breath, it squeezes tighter.
Yeah.
And then you can't get your breath back in.
Well, that seems unfortunate.
Dog, that's why I'm out of breath.
Oh, that's all right. I get out of breath climbing the stairs here. No shame in that. All right. We have coming up for you a show by the name of Zoe and Bertrand. We will find out what they have on the way, and we will talk to them in just a matter of moments.
Missed something? Be sure to like us on Facebook for great moments from the shows and breaking sports news. 98.5, The Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, christening the JCC pool today.
Oh, yeah?
Today would be the day to do it. I mean, today is the 18th of June, and that's my bad. I mean, the JCC pool season, don't stretch long.
Well, I mean, you're busy. You got baseball stuff you've been doing. You got lots of things happening. Practice.
We lost yesterday, but we had been undefeated. So now the championship comes down tomorrow, and then if we win that, the league championship against the other side of Newton goes down.
The bad side.
Oh.
And that goes down Thursday. It's about juggling pitching, my friend.
So you play the team from the wrong side of the tracks in the championship game.
Yeah. We got to be, it's like the Socias versus the Greasers. Yeah.
I'm just saying, Benny the Jet Rodriguez, that group.
It's not quite brother against brother, right? It's kind of...
No. It's like they're over there like Pony Boy and the guys.
No, they're all snapping their fingers, yeah.
No, this is outside of references. Yeah. Not really where you're at.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're going West Side Story.
Yes, I was. I'm a little older than you. I figured. Well, that's my fault.
If you're that old. Yeah. So the Outsiders came out in 82, so that's well before your... After
I was out of college by then. Jesus. What's wrong with you?
In 82, you were out of college?
No, it was... Middle school, 82.
You were in middle school?
Yes.
All right. Did you like the Outsiders?
I only saw it once. So, from what I remember, yes.
Okay. But that's what it's like.
Yeah.
It's like we show up with our clean uniforms and, you know, everyone's new hats. We go over there and they're playing with milk crates instead of gloves.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
They'll spike you.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's no holds barred. Some of these kids, they got metal spikes on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of tied around their shoes. Then not real cleats, just kind of some metal spikes on there.
Some of them will just wear razor blades. They'll have a razor blade taped to their wrist.
Yep.
And they'll take it out if you're on first, they'll take it out and just go and jab you with
it. Yep.
Wow.
Kind of subtle, but... Mm-hmm. It's there. You feel it.
And they play with illegal bats.
No. Yeah.
No, we'd get a trophy.
That's nice.
I wouldn't mind a trophy.
Nice. Yeah.
Prove that I've made something of myself.
Yeah.
I'm the third coach on the team.
What better way to do it?
I'll tell you.
Than a big shiny trophy.
That tells you that you've accomplished something.
Yeah.
Scott Zolak, dressed for the summer. He's got his salmon shorts on.
Yeah, for real.
He's got his lobster shirt on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's your Father's Day? Good?
My Father's Day was great. I got a nice present from each of my kids. John received nothing from his children.
Nope. Well, yes and no. That's debatable.
Well, you refer to dragons during a sports talk show.
Yes, that's right.
What's wrong with referring to dragons? I don't understand your problem with dragons.
Give you a cloak or a sword.
That's the quickest way to beat a dragon is with a sword. I don't understand your problem.
Same way you kill a vampire. Stake through the heart, right?
That wooden stake through the heart.
That wooden stakes don't do anything to dragons. Well,
I had a steak yesterday. It was a good steak. That's a
nice. I
learned how to make the perfect ribeye. Did you ever see Black Man?
I did.
When they're sitting at the table, he said, family secret, how he marinates steak. He said, it's the greatest effing steak I've ever had. What'd you put it in? He goes, a family secret. I can't tell you. We ended up coaxing him into telling him. He said, soy sauce and garlic. You chop up the garlic. I got one of slap chop, so slap chop that thing. Throw it in a thing with a soy sauce. Let that sucker sit there for a day. Stab it with a fork. Throw that on a grill. Ain't nothing like it.
So you got to declove it, though. You got to take the skin
off. Take the clove off, but then you get about 6 cloves of garlic. Put them inside that round thing. It's a slap chop. You know, just...
You know what I do?
Better than cutting it.
You know how do you get the exterior of it off?
You slap.
That's right.
You take the big side of a mallet,
or a cleaver. Just use your hand.
You just use your hand. And it peels right
you
off.
Slap it peels right off. Nah, he just pulls it right off. And then you're halfway.
Still smell it. Yeah. Jones in the morning, the dark night.
Yes.
I called you the other night.
He did. Called on Zach the way home from Zach Brown, yeah.
Oh, did you FaceTime me?
No.
I got a FaceTime from you.
It's my phone. My phone's been dialing people left and right. It's crazy. Well, it started tweeting yesterday. I thought several things.
I thought you were friends.
Three tweets.
I thought you wanted to talk.
No. We're good.
No,
we're good.
Just a butt dial, I guess.
Just a butt dial.
Yeah, it's hot out there already, man.
Is it?
Oh, humid.
That's why they go to the JCC 100. Pool.
You going today?
Oh, baby.
It's almost uncomfortable to be out of the pool. I couldn't even stand on my pool yesterday.
My son has a 2-hour baseball practice tonight, so that should be.
What'd I tell you about that?
I mean, he
must be thrilled. Must be so excited to go play baseball in this.
He likes it.
Yeah,
he does. I didn't make him do it.
Call me halfway through practice tonight.
They got the championship coming up.
It's 102.
No, that's a different. That's Williamsport. I'm not coaching. I just drop him off.
Oh.
2 hours later, pick him up.
Don't leave me. Make sure he has his pants on. It's good itchy wool ones.
I'm hoping that the coach says that you can wear shorts today.
Well, that will probably work on sliding tonight.
That's why I'm hoping the coach allows them to wear shorts. Yeah. That would be nice.
Yeah.
All right. What do you guys got going? We've been given the. Hey, why was Jim Gray with Brady?
Oh yeah, good question.
I think he's the liaison between the two. Like he may have been part of. You've got to go. Here's what you got to do with Brady.
The two,
you
got Brady and Oprah.
You got to trace this stuff through sponsorships. Like, you know, he does that Monday night thing with Jim Gray.
Yeah.
Jim Gray might do something with Oprah. This might be a charity thing that's connected or sponsorship or these people from Morton's that pay for the interviews may have asked him to do it as a favor. Who knows?
But let's say he was.
It's weird, man.
No, right. But let's say he was the middleman because that makes some sense. Why is he there? That's still weird.
So maybe he had to bring him there. I don't know.
Why would he be the middleman, too? Brady has handlers.
No, Brady's got handlers. No, Brady's got two. He's got Donnie and Dubin. Dubin does all his business.
No, yeah. But what I'm saying is that I seriously wonder if Jim Gray has become an assistant to Tom Brady.
I told you the story. I was out in Denver for a game a year or two ago, and I'm standing there next to Jim Gray, and we're talking about it. Tom comes out, talks to me, goes right past Jim Gray. So, I mean, I think he uses Jim Gray here and there. I don't know.
I don't. It's
weird,
peculiar.
Man. Scratchy.
It is very.
Like,
peculiar.
I want that guy to like deal. I want to deal with that guy.
All right. Well, if you're at the JCC pool today,
you'll be dealing with Freddie. We're gonna do that. We're gonna do Kyrie.